leaving you in good hands. Okay, we continue the Rambam. We're in Perek Beis Hilchos Trumas Halacha Yud. Okay, this halacha is fairly easy. Yisrael sha'oisa peirosov bituma. Let's say a Jew, a Yisrael, is processing his fruits, and it is in a tuma state, and he's making it all tuma. And for that matter, I'm imagining he's going to be making, this is going to be truma. So this Yisrael, he's processing truma in a way, he's going to make it tame, which is not good. Well, guess what? Ein bochimimo, you as a second person, should not harvest together with him because you're assisting him to do this. And already learned in the beginning of the chapter, you can't make something tuma, you can't help something become tuma. So let's say he couldn't be his worker or whatever. The ein tzorach lomer goes, well, the more so, shein dorchimo, you don't press, let's say, grapes or olives because then they get tuma biblically because they become moist from the squishing, and then it gets a level of biblical tumah, while before maybe it's only rabbinic or secondary tumah, whatever. But for sure you couldn't do that. Because you're going to be making the truma in a state of tumah, so you can't do that.
That moist isn't water, though. It's like we say grape. Like
doesn't matter. Stuff. It will make the rest of the stuff tummy. As the liquid hits on the other olive.
Like with matzah, we say fruit juice doesn't make... You know?
It makes it mukhshir for tuma, and then when you touch it with your tummy hands, then it becomes biblically. That's what happens. Aval, but what you could do in the assistance, if you have nothing to do with making them tummy. Let's say the guy needs barrels. You're just the barrel delivery guy. So you deliver empty barrels to the guy... You can bring them empty barrels, lagas, to the press. Now the guy himself is going to press them, make them tame, and mess them all up, put them in the barrels, and then he asks you to ship it to wherever it's shipping. So there you're not assisting him in making them tame. You're just assisting in delivering barrels. You have nothing to do with making them. It's not your business what he's doing putting in the barrels. You're just delivering barrels. He's going to make them tame regardless. So then you can do that. Okay, Yud Aleph is the trickiest halacha of the night. And there's a few things that strange over here. We're going to be speaking in the first case. There's two separate cases. But the first case we're talking where you have some olives or grapes that have been tame by a Rishon Letuma. And a Rishon Letuma touched these olives and grapes and made them a secondary tuma. Okay, now, here's the issue over here. When you squeeze wine or olives out, let me back it up. When a first degree tuma touches the olive or the grape, it makes the outside of the olive and the outside of the grape secondary tuma. It's still a barrier for the juice that's inside, or the olive
skin
juice.
Is.
Yeah, the skin is, and therefore it doesn't do anything to it yet. Huh. Then when the liquid goes out. Once it's out, it's no longer touching that sheni, so that liquid technically will not become tame. That's the rules. That's if it's a sheni, that's the rules. So therefore, there's ways in which you could have olives which are tame, and yet you can squeeze them and produce tahor truma out of them.
When you squeeze them, it doesn't touch the outside of other grapes?
No. Unless you're going to squeeze it onto the other olives. But if you just squeeze it in a way, it just leaves the olive. So it goes out of the olive, it never really was touching the outer part of the olive. That's the point, the chiddush he's trying to say, where you have stuff that's tameh, and you can still make truma out of it, because it never got tameh. That's what he's saying. Zeisim vanovim shnitmu. Let's say you have olives or grapes that became tame, okay, from a rishon letuma, they become a secondary tuma. Sochatan, you may squeeze them, and then va'osin al sam truma. And now with the liquid that's coming out of that, you can make truma out of it because it never got tame, because the liquid was chulin at that time. It's very important. We'll see a difference in them in another situation. But the squeezing by them just being inside, because we know more than this, a secondary one can't make a third thing chulin. So therefore, it's considered separated from it. So even let's say we touch it at the edge coming out, but a secondary can't make a third one. That's if nothing was truma. In other words, you have tummy olives But the point is, you can create truma juice or truma oil from a tame grape or olive if it's a secondary tuma. All right? However, vim nitma'u acher shenasa truma. Let's say you made the olives truma. The olives you made truma. And then they became tame. Now we have a much more difficult issue over here, because then at that point they will they can much easier make them tame. So therefore, but there's still a way out of it. Vesochatan, so you can still squeeze it, but now you got to squeeze a very small amount of olive, as we'll see why. If it's pachas pachas mikabeya, if you if I believe the olive is you before you squeeze, you have less than a beya for every olive, because it's too small to give off a tuma. It's not big enough to give off a tuma. So you do that, then harei hamashka hayosem, then the liquid that comes out of them, mutter b'shasila kohanim. It's mutter for kohanim to drink, and more than that, fill in the sochma, it can be even good for libations. Why? Here's the point. Shamashke ki iluhu mufkar b'socha ochel. Because the liquid, it's like it's detached, even though it's within the food. Okay? But if it would be more than a beya, then it makes the liquid tuma because it's truma, and by truma we say a secondary tuma of truma makes a third degree of truma. That's the strictness. In other words, by chulin, secondary tuma does not make a third degree tuma. By truma, it does, but that's only if it's a kazayis. Right. If it's less than a kazayis, it's not enough to give off the tuma. So therefore, you have to make sure when you're squeezing out the oil, those olives, either you cut the olive in half or whatever, you have to make sure the olives are smaller than that. Now, the truth of the matter is, really, it could even be the size of an egg. I'm sorry, an egg. I meant an egg. Why does it have to be less than an egg? So he says, "V'lomru pachas pachas mageh." We didn't say it had to be less than an egg. Only Alexerites, as the rabbis, are concerned. Shemayasa yoser mikveh. You might do more than an egg. V'nimtza mashka mistam mikveh. Then the liquid will become tame with like the bay. In other words, really, it could be exactly a bay. It would be good enough. You have to have more than a bay to make it tame. But the rabbis wanted to make it less than a beya, because if it's going to be a beya, then you might make a mistake and make more than a beya, and then it'll make it tamei. So we're just on the strict end of that.
Did you say pachat twice in a row?
Who?
Did you say pachat pachat? You didn't.
Yeah, the Rambam says pachas pachas.
Not here. Okay.
In Hebrew, it's pachas pachas. It says it twice in the beginning of the halacha, second line, and at the last.
Not in your version.
No. Well, in my version.
Okay. No, no, it's just here.
But that, so, but that means each one, like each one, each one, each one, less than a kabeya. But it doesn't really have to be less. Technically, it'll be a beya, but we're just too worried. It's going to be close to going over the limit.
So we're not saying it goes from second to third while it's still in the grape of the olive.
No, but when it goes out, it is a third. It is a third, but if it's chulin, that doesn't do anything. If it's less, if it's a beya or less, even by truma, it doesn't do anything. But if it's a beya and truma, then a second will make a third tame. Similarly, v'imhoya peres ela shlisha tuma. Let's say a secondary tuma touched any of these fruits of pre-truma or post-truma and makes it a third degree, and I want that to make the oil a fourth degree, no problem. It doesn't happen at all. Dorchem bagas, you can squeeze them in the press like normal. There's no problem anymore. Ubebe sabad as well. Vamashka truma torah, and the mashka will become truma torah. Why she'ain shlishi osir aviva truma? Because a third degree cannot make a fourth degree by truma at all, as was explained in Taurus. Okay, that was the real hard ones for the night. The rest is easier.
Actually, I have a question about Yud. Is he preparing it for Truma?
Yes, yes.
He's preparing it for his personal use. We don't
know. No, Truma, it doesn't matter. It could be a kohen who's not careful. A guy is going to make Truma Tmeya.
But if a guy's preparing, if a Yisrael is preparing for his own, just
we're talking stone. About okay. Truma okay. Tmeya. If it's not Truma, we don't care. A guy can make something Tmeya. We don't care. It's we're dealing with truma that the person who's processing is going to make truma tmei. You can't help him out.
So does that mean that a regular guy who's about to separate his barley or grain and say, okay, this is for the corn, and he's going to go scoop it up with his hands and put it in a different pile or a different bucket, he has to make sure he's
doesn't make a tummy. Exactly.
So he has to make sure he's tamar.
That's right. You can't have. That's right.
So anytime, what if he's using? I guess if he uses a vessel, a shovel. He still has got to be tahor.
Everything's got to be tahor. Exactly.
So whenever someone was separating, they had to make sure they're tahor.
That's right. Once, exactly. Because if the stuff is tameh and you're going to make truma out of it, then you have truma tameh.
So it doesn't have to be when it's harvested.
So therefore, it's
last part of the
you have to be careful.
Not, last part, right.
You have to be careful not to be in it. Yeah, only after you cut it.
Right.
Till it, and more than that, it's cut and it has to have it has to be wetted.
I was going to say, it has to be wet.
It has to be wet for it to be doraisa. Tomato.
Should it have been it without it being wet?
It's possible. It could be.
So if it got wet, so totally dry.
You got to be careful. At the end of the day,
if it was dry at the time, is it okay? Or is
I don't think it's makabel tumor. No, maybe it'll be a sheni or something, but it won't be a biblical tumor. And that's you have to be careful. So you're right. It's not so simple.
I don't remember which tomorrow we were wearing the bids in the morning.
Kiyutan. It has to be first. Liquid has to crops. Liquid has to touch it first. Then it dries or whatever, or even not dries.
Well,
and you have to be aware that it became wet, and then if a rodent will touch it, it'll make it tummy.
But if it dried, totally dried out.
No, it doesn't. It'll still make it tummy. Once it was wet, once.
Rodent or a dead
after
rodent?
After it's been cut.
Dead rodent.
Dead rodent, okay.
Yeah, once it's been wet, even if it dries, and you were aware it was wet, then it's ready to receive tumor.
You said the rodent had to be dead.
Mm. Okay, so you gotta be careful. That's all. Okay, now. Pas truma. Now a couple next halachos are pretty easy. Pas truma shenikmei. So you have bread of truma, and it became tameh. So what can you do with it? Not very much. Mashlich el bein etzim. You throw it amongst the firewood, and it just adds on to the heat. That's all you can do with it. At yisrafenu until it burns.
Kohen.
What?
A kohen. Israel can't do this.
Yeah, yeah. A kohen. Once the kohen has the truma, and it became tameh. Whatever. Vechein shemen shenitma. Also, oil that is tamei. Now, we said you can burn it, but you may not need to burn all of it in one shot. You could have a lot of oil. So you don't going to burn all the oil in one shot. You want to save some, because at least you can get hanoah out of that. You light your candles or whatever. So you may have a lot. So what are you going to do to make sure that nobody, by mistake, will use this truma that's tamei, or Yisrael already? So what do we do? So you have to take care. So what you do is no snippet klimos. You put that tome oil in a disgusting utensil. Actually, look, until you finish lighting from it. Why? Because if it's disgusting, it won't make a damage for others who might eat it. Right? And that's truma. We don't want Yisrael's eating truma. And if it's lying around, that could be major problems. So, therefore, if he puts in a dirty, disgusting thing, well, you're only going to use it, you know, like if you leave the oil in a dirty oil can, right? No one's going to start dipping vegetables in it.
You have to treat it with respect?
You are. Well, it's tamei, and you're going to use it for burning, and you're doing this only for one purpose.
For burning. It's
not disgusting for burning. It's disgusting for dipping your vegetables in it. And we don't want a Yisrael eating this oil as truma, which you cannot do that. Okay, vechitim shem, what about wheat that's become tummy? You also got to burn it, but somebody can just pick up the wheat and eat the wheat. So what do? We shulk them. We cook them halfway. Halfway cooking is not a state that anybody wants to eat it at all. Umenechem bil klimos, leave in a disgusting container. So it's not fit to be eaten at all. Then you can light your stove or furnace, whatever you want to do. Now, what about, interesting, umashkin shenrua, what are other liquids? Okay, oil is good for lighting, but other liquids don't. Let's say wine. What do you do then? Shinitmu, they become tummy. What do you do with wine that's tummy? Kigona yayin, koivrinoisum, you bury them.
In the container? What does that mean?
No, you bury it.
You pour it?
Pour it into the ground and you bury it. You get rid. You have it go into the ground, and now no one will be able to have use of it. Now it's interesting, because there is another use you could do with it.
Smelling.
Can you go to vinegar?
Smelling. Fragrant.
Maybe as a fragrant, or let's say you want to douse out a fire. You could do that too, right? But yeah, to make a fragrant out of it. So we don't allow that because we're afraid people will make a mistake with it because people will be more likely to drink it. So therefore, we say just spill it out. There is really, it's too dangerous to leave it around and just spill it out.
What if it turns to vinegar and use it as vinegar?
It's still eating.
You can't, it's tummy, Howard. You can't eat it.
I mean vinegar for using as part of a
vinegar cooking.
Like, yeah, cooking.
That's cooking. You still eat it.
cleaning windows.
You're eating it, Howard.
You can't eat it.
If you put vinegar in a recipe, you're eating it, Howard.
Okay. Wash your floors.
I guess they didn't use vinegar to wash their floors. Okay, Yud Gimel. Yayin Trumish Isgala. What about wine of Truma that the top has been opened and now a snake could have got into there? And therefore, there's a question not of it being Tame, but it's going to kill you. So therefore, you can't drink it anyway. Not because of Tuma, but you just can't drink it. For us, sir, whole of us, since you can't drink it because it's dangerous. Now, Rama used a different verb than the previous verb. Yishafech, you pour it out. It's interesting, and I don't have an answer, why by wine before, when it was Tama, he said bury it, and here he says pour it out, when it's tantamount to the same thing, so I don't know why the Rambam changed the verbiage there. V'chein te'enim v'amnavim, and also figs and grapes, v'kishuim, and what do you call it, gourds, udaluim, it's also other kinds of gourds, right? V'avatichim, and melons, umulafifonos, and pickles, sheltruma, of truma, shenimtsu menukaris, you find holes in them. That means we're concerned that poisonous bugs, whatever, bored holes in it, and the whole thing can kill you. So what is the status? You can't eat them. It could kill you, but you can't just throw it in the ground like wine. So what do you do? Toss it into the ocean. Or bury it. In other words, you got to get rid of it in a way that no one will ever have any business with it. It's either you toss it in the ocean or you bury it. There's no other options with that to do.
But you flush it down the toilet.
It's rotting, and you just like essentially use it as compost.
Okay. Well, I guess the Rambam is saying let's just get rid of it as soon as the more you leave it around, the more you have problems. Just get rid of it.
I've taken truma for Israeli produce, and you take a nickel and you put it in the sewer. I guess that's the same. Like,
what's a nickel? Because I guess you don't want anybody to benefit from it.
Right.
You throw it out.
It has to be somewhere where it was irretrievable.
That's right, because someone retrieves it, they're going to be benefiting from that thing of Truma, exactly. Yud Dalet, what about Isa Shinishul? What about a dough that you kneaded the dough with water that was deadly water? You had, let's say, a barrel of water that was uncovered, so now really, you're not allowed to drink it because a snake may have put venom in it. Now, on top of that, you went and mixed it with flour to make challah, okay, with this water. Now, the question is, you might think that maybe when you put it in the oven, the heat will destroy the venom and it won't kill you. Says the Rambam, no. Afal pishu truma, even though it's truma, still, and it's kosher truma, it's tar truma, but still it's going to kill you. So tisareif, you have to burn it because the poison has not been reduced because of the flame. It's no different than the water, than any truma that has problems of poison in that.
So that means you have a problem with any standing water, you leave a maze of water.
Where there are snakes in your region, in Thornhill, you do not have to worry about a snake going in your house. But if you live in certain areas in Israel, certain moshavim, whatever, you know, they have to be concerned about that. You know, there were snakes all over the place. In Toronto, you don't have to worry about it. Tesvav. Sir, look, now the next couple of halachas are basically going to say that the Yisrael has the right to decide who he wants to give the truma to, and a Kohen does not have the right to grab it from a Jew. That's the basic law, but there's details that we have to go through. First, the basic halacha, tesvav. Aser l'kohen litol truma o sharma tanishlo. A Kohen is not allowed to just take truma or other gifts that the Torah gives, not say challah or anything like that. He just can't go over to Yid and take it. First of all, you got to have two steps at least. Number one, Asher Frisobam, the owner has to separate it from the tevel, first of all. You know, imagine a lady's being chal, the coin walks by, harezu chal. You can't do that. The coin has no rights to anything till the Jew separates, first of all, and declares that this is truma. If he hasn't declared anything truma, the coin's a thief. He only says the truma, not tevel. Step one. How do we know that? First of all, that first point. Remember, the Torah says, number one, Reishi Sosom, the first. I share you, Lashem, the gift to Hashem. Luchon Asai, give to the Kohen. So they give from the first. But what's the first? But never else, I share your Rim of Nesol, that the Jews will lift up, will separate. Lashem, fresh Asai, Luchon. So you first got to be separated. Before you separate, you have no right at all to take it. But then, so Acherima, until it's been separated. And then, the Achar Kach, afterwards, Yiskon, then they're entitled. At that point, they're entitled. It still doesn't mean they could take it. But at least, okay, it's earmarked for Kohan. But right. You got to wait now for step two. step one is a sine qua non. You can't get, if you don't have that, it's nothing. Step two, you're supposed to wait, but if you don't, you can get away with it. What's step two? Obviously, you shouldn't take it after it's been separated. El-Gasaban has to be with the acknowledgement of the owner.
Well, he has to pick his coin.
And the owner says, I'm giving it to you. I want you to take it. Right? Sharei, Hamsola, it still belongs to the owner, Litnon, to give it, Lechokan, to give whatever coin he wants to give it to. That's his benefit. You're not allowed to take it. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ve'ish, a regular Yisrael, es kadosh of his holy objects, Loyu, they belong to him, meaning to say, and he can give it to who he wants to give it to. So that's the second step. However, this is where the B'dievid will kick in. If a Kohen goes into your house before you separated Truma and says, you know, this is 150 of the crop, I'm taking it home. Get out of here. You're a ganef, it's not even Truma, and you have to give it back. We'll take you to court and make you give it back. But once a guy separated a fifth and says, this is Truma, and the guy figured, tomorrow I'm going to decide to give it to him. What if the Kohen just goes in and takes it, the Truma that is actually, but it's not allocated yet? What if the Kohen takes it without the permission of the owner? Guess what? Zochabim, he does get it. Why? You got to think. What could we possibly have against the coin? In other words, let's go back to the first step. If I didn't separate any truma, and the coin takes one-fifth of my crops, now I can say, you're a ganef, you stole one-fifth of my crops, give it back. So it's truma. It wasn't truma yet. It's not yours. You stole from me. Here, he already separated one-fiftieth. It belongs to the kohanim. So now what right do I have? Do I have any financial ownership? No, I have this wonderful benefit that I could do a favor to whoever I want to. Question is there a price tag to that?
Is there a value for it?
Is there a there is no value. There's no financial value, and that's the point. So the coin was out. The coin never stole anything from you. We say, She'ein lebalim behem ela tovasano. The only thing the owner has is the privilege of gifting. But guess what? The tovasano ain't a moment. That's not considered a money issue.
He wanted it to go.
So now, when the guy takes it, when the coin takes the truma, not only he doesn't have to pay the truma back, he doesn't have to pay whatever the guy says, well, you know, it's worth 1% of the value is like the benefit that I did a favor to somebody. You know, there is a certain value. We don't put a monetary price tag to it, and therefore we can't say he actually stole money. It wasn't the right thing for him to do. It wasn't nice. But you can't say he's a ganef, and there's no retribution, and now a coin. We don't say just give it back and use another coin. Well, you took it, and technically the mitzvah's done.
He wanted it to go to son-in-law.
That's right. So, technically, I mean, he's not going to be well-liked in the community, this coin, certainly, and, you know, the guy will now, it's on the
maybe that's why
system.
He's taking it himself.
He'll have a nasty guard German shepherd outside his house now, maybe. But technically, the coin can get away with it. Let's do one small one more. Tezayin. Kohen Shenaslo Truma. Let's say you go give the coin. You say, here's the coin. It's a nice basket here. Here's a bushel of grain. Here it is. Coin goes home. He takes the bushel out. Takes it out. And guess what? $100 bill falls out of that thing. So now, who gets to keep that $100? So umatzaba dvarmach. You find other things. What's a valuable? Something, you know, not rodents. Talk about something. So what's going on here? The coin is not allowed to have them. Mishum gozel will be thievery. Why? Because perhaps someone else put it there. We'll see why. Achim to take it. Now, who would put it? Now, here's the idea. Let's say you want to put something in safekeeping. Where's the best place in the world to put something in safekeeping? In a pile of truma. Why? Because most Jews stay far away from truma. Number one, you can't make a tummy. If you eat your chayiv misa, it's not the kind of thing you want to mess around with. It's the ideal place to put something because no one is going to go there. So it could be the owner himself put something in there. It could be a stranger, but he saw there was a silo with truma. He said, I'll put it there. I'll be great. I'll come back another. He didn't know he was going to give it. The point being, the Kohen must surely understand that what he sees here is a lost object. And now the coin has the mitzvah. You're going to say, well, what's it going to do? Well, ask for a simon. Say, you know, whatever. Say, I found something in a pile of truma in so-and-so silo. Tell me what I found. Because he knows something there. And the guy was going to come back and get it. And I guess he misinterpreted exactly when it was going to come back. Therefore, the coin cannot keep it. Okay, we're going to stop it here, guys. We'll reconvene Rambam 3 weeks hence. Not 3 weeks hence.
3 weeks Sunday.
3 weeks Sunday hence. Okay, Shkayach.